Job chapter 20. This is Zophar's second speech. Therefore, Zophar says, "Do my thoughts make me answer, even by reason of my haste that is in me? I've heard the reproof which seeks to shame me. The spirit of my understanding makes me answer." This is quite a theme with all of them, Job as well as the friends. They've got this idea that I must speak. I've got to just say this. And we all feel like that when there's a heated debate and dialogue starts to break down. You don't have to talk. You don't have to say it. And in the end, when the friends go quiet, then God speaks. And we're all rather relieved that finally they have all shut up. And yet they all feel this need. Oh, I've got to say this. Let me just point this out. This is all the stuff of dialogue gone wrong. And you see how it was all those years ago is the same today. And he says, "I've heard the reproof which seeks to shame me." Well, Job wasn't seeking to shame any of the friends, including Zophar. He simply disagreed. But they take it so personally. Oh, you don't agree with me. Oh, you're trying to shame me. You know, Zophar and all them, they've been saying, "Well, you suffered, Job, because you sinned. That's the truth. You've sinned, so fess up and repent." And Job says, "No, I don't agree with you for various reasons." And then Zophar says, "Oh, you're trying to shame me." No, not at all. It gets personal. This is the whole problem with any kind of discussion, especially of religious things, personal things. People say, "Oh, you don't agree with me, therefore you are against me personally." So we have to learn from all this. Really, it's an example, really, of relationship breakup and how dialogue goes wrong. So Zophar says, "Don't you know this from old times, since man was placed on earth, that the triumphing of the wicked is short, the joy of the godless but for a moment? Though his height mount up to the heavens and his head reach to the clouds, yet he shall perish forever like his own dung." He's really quite crude, this Zophar. "Those who have seen him shall say, 'Where is he?' He shall fly away as a dream and shall not be found. Yes, he shall be chased away like a vision of the night. The eye which saw him shall see him no more. Neither shall his place any more see him. His children shall seek the favour of the poor. His hands shall give back his wealth." So Zophar's saying, well, this has always been known that wealth gets taken away from wicked people. And of course, wealth had been taken away from Job. But he was innocent. He had not particularly sinned. God had said, "You are moving me to destroy him without cause. This man is just and upright." So, again, the appeal of Zophar is to traditional wisdom. Oh, this has always been understood this way. But the fact is, maybe it was, but people can be wrong, and there can be cherished, much-loved traditions that may go all the way back to Adam, which are still wrong. And this is where God's word, as we have it today in the Bible, is so important, because this is the truth from God. Not human tradition, and human beings have been tragically wrong about so many things. And he goes on, "His bones are full of his youth, but youth shall lie down with him in the dust. Though wickedness is sweet in his mouth, though he hide it under his tongue, though he spare it and will not let it go, but keep it still within his mouth, yet his food in his bowels is churned, it is cobra venom within him. He has swallowed down riches, and he shall vomit them up again. God will cast them out of his belly. He shall suck cobra venom. The viper's tongue shall kill him. He shall not look at the rivers, the flowing streams of honey and butter. That for which he laboured he shall restore, and shall not swallow it down. According to the substance that he has gotten, he shall not rejoice, for he has oppressed and forsaken the poor. He's violently taken away a house, and he shall not build it up." So Zophar's getting really carried away. He's saying, well, people who lose their wealth, it's because they oppressed the poor. It's because they stole houses from the poor. Well, later on, Job is going to clear himself by saying, no, I was generous to the poor. And again, God says this right at the beginning. No, Job is an upright man. So Zophar, like all the friends, he gets driven really to slander Job. He says, well, you're suffering, therefore you've sinned. Well, therefore you must have oppressed the poor. You must have stolen from the poor, or something like that. So people end up thinking really badly about each other. because they just get obsessed in their thinking against somebody. It's why people can sometimes get an awful impression of somebody because they keep on and on thinking about them. They keep on and on imagining, well, they must have this, they must have that, until they actually come to believe it as true. And you see this going on here between Zophar and Job. He says, because he knew no quietness within him, he shall not save anything of that in which he delights. There was nothing left that he didn't devour. Therefore, his prosperity shall not endure. He's alluding to how Job's prosperity had stopped. In the fullness of his sufficiency, distress shall overtake him. The hand of each one who is in misery shall come on him. When he's about to fill his belly, God will cast the fierceness of his wrath upon him. It will rain on him while he's eating. He shall flee from the iron weapon. The bronze arrow shall strike him through. He draws it forth and it comes out of his body. Yes, the glittering point comes out of his liver. Terrors are before him. All darkness is laid up for his treasures. An unfanned fire shall devour him. It shall consume that which is left in his tent. The heavens shall reveal his iniquity. The earth shall rise up against him. The increase of his house shall depart. They shall rush away in the day of his wrath. This is the portion of a wicked man from God, the heritage appointed to him by God. So Zophar is absolutely sure that Job has sinned, and he's wicked, and therefore he's lost his wealth, he's lost his home, he's lost his family. This, Zophar is convinced, this all shows that Job is a really unusually wicked man. Whereas the opposite was true. God thought that he was an unusually righteous man. And so it happens. People can get absolutely the wrong impression about a person. They may be convinced somebody is a wonderful person when actually they're awful. And they may be convinced that somebody is absolutely awful when they are absolutely wonderful in God's eyes. So you see how we are unable to judge. And this is why we must not judge in the ultimate sense, because we really don't know people. And here you have an example of where a man was so badly misjudged by other men who consider themselves his friends.